Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You're listening to SupDoc, the premier podcast about documentaries that's hosted by two comedians.
Hi, I'm Paco Romain.
And I'm George Chen. And happy Mother's Day to you, Paco.
Happy Mother's Day to you too, George.
Did you do anything for your dear old ma?
Well, I didn't kill her.
Well, that makes you very different from who we're going to talk about today on our Mayhem series. Every Monday in May, we do true crime documentaries. Today, we're recapping the startling HBO documentary, Mommy, Dead and Dearest, directed by Aaron Lee Carr.
That's right. In July 2016, Gypsy Rose Blanchard was sentenced to 10 years in prison after pleading guilty to second-degree murder in the brutal stabbing death of her mother, Dee Dee.
Gypsy, who was then 24, was arguably the biggest victim of all, held hostage by her mother since she was a young child, a casualty of Munchausen by proxy. Gypsy's plan to kill Dee Dee was a last-ditch attempt to flee this abuse.
Also, their shared Facebook page is still public and even brags about the murder. It is eerie.
Yeah, it's real creepy, guys. And our guest to talk about all this is Allie Johnson, a radio host, voice actor, and comedy writer based in Los Angeles. She co-hosted the top-rated morning show in San Francisco, Kevin Klein Live. She now hosts Drop the Subject on Channel Q, the world's first nationally syndicated LGBTQ radio station.
And now, here's our talk with Allie. We are here with our guest, Allie Johnson. Hi, Allie.
Hi. Hi. Nice to be here. Thank you
for coming
over to my neck of the woods.
We did. We're here in Los Angeles. I'm sitting next to George Chen.
Hello.
Who's also up in the hizzy, as the kids like to say.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was a kid once.
Yeah. We just found out that we are both from San Jose.
Yeah, we did. And that we have rival, well, I don't know if they're rival, but
look,
we went to
sports.
High schools. Neither did I. I went to Mitty, you went to Bellarmine. And my school is actually a very athletic school, but I was in the musical theater department.
Oh,
so that was my strong point. But I did date the captain of the baseball team before I turned gay.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's my memory. Yeah, he's not only straight, he is like a Zeus, or he's like a model on a dating website where they're like, here's who you could be meeting, and it's him.
No way.
Yeah,
no one from my high school should be that.
Super hot, yeah. And he's like the nicest guy ever. He joined the Peace Corps. Oh. He adopted triplets from Bolivia.
What?
Yeah, he's like the best guy.
Handsome, sporty, big heart.
Yeah. Oh, biggest heart. Yeah.
Was your school a Catholic school or was it non-denominational?
It was it was a Catholic school, but I had left the faith at that time. I think that when I went through Catholic school and they were like, this is how Catholicism works, I was like, really? I don't want this.
Skip me, please.
Yeah. But I don't shame anyone who is on board with that stuff. I've walked away from that as well.
I was never on. They dumped me in there, so it was like everyone else knows all these songs and stories I don't know by the time I'm like in freshman in high school. I'm like, I feel like I'm missing a lot here.
May peace be with you.
Yeah. Were you the diversity hire at Bellarmine?
Maybe. There was actually a lot of Jewish guys, Indian guys, Asian guys, Filipino, but Filipinos are Catholic, so that's like neither here nor there.
Well, it was San Jose. It was pretty diverse.
Pretty diverse. So, yeah.
Did you go to high school, Paco?
I
didn't. I grew up on a farm.
Cool.
Yeah, so we had a ditch. That's where I learned.
Was it a Catholic ditch?
It was a Catholic ditch.
I went to prom with a chicken.
I did. She was great. She was a great cluck. Thank you.
You'll be here not all week.
Let that sink in.
Less than all week.
I was homeschooled, though.
You were?
Yeah. Yeah, I was homeschooled for a while. Yeah. That was awesome.
That kind of relates to this.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it does. Good segue. Mommy, Dead, and Dearest, part of our Mayhem month of true crime documentaries all month of May, every Monday. Wow. Bonkers, crazy, wackadoo.
And happy post-Mother's Day to all you listeners.
That's right. This is a special Mother's Day edition of SupDoc.
One person who killed their mom this weekend, and they're like, whoa.
Why did I download this podcast? Yeah.
What are the chances?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I watch every single true crime documentary that I can get my hands on. I'm obsessive about it. And then good. When I saw this one come up on my... It was on Netflix, right?
HBO.
HBO. Yeah. And I usually go to the documentary section, and I saw this title, and I was like, this is the most trash title ever. Press play immediately.
Yeah, especially with that picture of Gypsy, like Gypsy Rose, just like...
With her wig on in the wheelchair. Yes. You're like, I'm on for this ride.
Let's go.
And what a ride it was.
Oh, Lord. What a ride. So let's start from the beginning. We're basically introduced to Gypsy Rose Blanchard, which is a fancy way of saying Blanchard, from where I'm from.
Yeah, I love it when people try and do that with their last names, yeah. Or even their first names sometimes. They're right. Like, my name's Yasmin. It's like, right. No.
Robert.
Or Jacqueline. And you're like, it's Jackie. Your name's Jackie.
That's just Jackie. Let's just stick to Jackie. It's Paco. That's my name.
Paco.
Roman. Paco Roman. Yeah, so we're introduced to Gypsy Rose Blanchard. I don't know about you guys, but when I first saw this, I was a little confused, like, where this was taking place. It was like, was it... At first, I'm like, it must be Florida. But it wasn't.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, but then it was also Making a Murderer came out a little before that. So I was like, everyone's talking weird. They must be from that place in Wisconsin that they were all from, where you interview them and they're like, yeah, I don't know. He was crazy.
Yeah. Oh,
and everything.
My God,
but
yeah.
They were talking a little bit differently.
Right.
And then I eventually learned it was Nolens.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Nolens. Yeah.
Nolens.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they
like,
mentioned.
I thought it was a little weird that she couldn't walk, and now she can. It was on her birthday. You're like, what?
Huh? What are you saying?
Yeah.
She got bit by a gator.
Yeah, I got bit by a gator. Because they mention Missouri, and then.
They even say Missouri.
They say Missouri, which is what you have say.
Yeah.
They also mention Waukesha, Wisconsin. At one point, they're in Wisconsin. So there was a little bit of that Wisconsin accent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There was that. But I think the doc starts with Gypsy Rose Blanchard singing on that stage.
Right.
And I don't know if you've ever experienced when someone's not good at singing and everyone has to sit there and wait for them to finish. And she's like, you are my sunshine. And you're like, okay, this is great. And then she like goes into another verse and you're like, oh, no.
Great. Oh, there's multiple verses.
She's keep going. Yeah. And then she's got this whole beauty queen theme as well, which is just so crazy, because you're like, is there some weird like Make-A-Wish beauty queen foundation thing that I don't know about? But then you realize it's just them being insane.
Right. Yes. Well, and then also what I thought of when I first, because I'd already seen it, so then the second viewing I'm like, is she singing, is it an affectation, is she trying to sing horribly, is it part of the gimmick? Is it part of the gimmick?
She sings too well, and then the mom like grabs her hand. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Start sucking.
Yeah, they're gonna believe you. Yeah. So I mean, because it's like, I mean, if she has leukemia and she's got like a lot of health problems, she can't like sing like a songbird. If she comes out and she's like, I believe I can fly.
Yeah, like, you can't fly. You can't even walk. According to the
doctors. I'm going to sing R. Kelly. He doesn't know how old I am either. Yeah.
But I love that when they start going in. And I have watched all of the act in addition to watching this documentary, which has been a fascinating overview. Not overview, but it goes really deep into the details of all of this. Mm-hmm. And you start thinking about this girl and what all the things she had. And the list of all of the things, because you, I think that eventually these people are meeting her and they're just like, she's sick.
Right.
But then when you go through the reports, it's like, this girl said that they said she had leukemia. They said she had breathing problems, hearing problems, seeing problems. They took out her salivary glands. And then it was just like feeding tube. It was like, but what does that have to do with anything? It was just like, and feeding tube. We're just going to throw that in there.
How sad is it that you get your feeding tube taken out just in time for prison food? That's like what you end up with. After all that, like, I didn't get to experience the other stuff.
I know. And then in the act when they're she's mixing up all of her food, she's like, I'm just going to put this pizza in a blender and then add some medication to it. And
I really love the details of the act. Like, I think it's pretty well done. It's as well done as the People versus OJ, I think. It's kind of in that vein, if you liked that film. Like, in terms of, like, obviously, there probably wasn't this one doctor who did this stuff. Like, in episode two, there's, like, the Indian doctor who's,
You know,
like,
right.
That's probably just an amalgamation of things.
Yeah,
but
I think
someone
there
had a question.
Were a few. And there were interviews with a couple, I think at least one of the doctors in the actual documentary who was like, this, none of this added up to me because I was thinking about, you know, the mother telling me that she's paralyzed from the waist down. And if she was really paralyzed, her muscles would be atrophied to the point where it would be noticeable at this point. Like, she can hold up her own weight. And I noticed that.
Yeah.
And it kind of sucks that once she gets out of prison, she's going to have to wait in line like everybody else.
Yeah. She will. So let's, Allie, why don't you tell our listeners who are not acquainted with the act what it is.
Oh, yeah. So the act is a series that is on, I believe it's Hulu. An 8-episode series that is on Hulu. Yeah, you can watch it all now. The finale happened, I believe, at the very beginning of the month. Mm-hmm. And it is a retelling of the story of Gypsy Rose Blanchard and her mother, Dee Dee. And Patricia Arquette is in it. She obviously does a great job. It's one of the few roles where she actually looks better than she's supposed to.
right.
I think that, like, if you've ever seen Escape at Dannemora, she looks like a train wreck the whole time.
Right.
So it's like, then to actually see her and then see the real Dee Dee, you're like, oh, right, she looked good compared to the real thing. Mm-hmm. But it goes through basically from the moment they get awarded that house as part of Habitat for Humanity and start living in this new neighborhood, it takes them through the progression of the daughter eventually realizing that she's basically being abused physically and emotionally, and her desire to break free into her meeting Nick Godejan, and then eventually them committing murder. And it goes through the entire thing in a really fascinating way. There are some things that are fictionalized or dramatized, but mainly, and I was just reading about what are the discrepancies between the real story and what was dramatized for the show, and it's pretty minimal. They have the actual events, including the two people, then two, including Gypsy Rose and Nick mailing the knife, the murder knife, to themselves. All of that was real. I was watching that and I was like, this is fake. There's no way. And then I rewatched the documentary and I was like, wow, that all really happened. But most of the stuff that they made up was relationship based. So, like, in relationship with the neighbor and her smoking weed with the neighbor and drinking and stuff, none of that really happened. The mom, played by Chloe Sevigny.
Mm-hmm.
It's always really nice to see her make a comeback. Every time she comes back, you're like, oh yeah,
she exists.
She's there. Yeah. So they don't even have any evidence that a character like her existed in the real the real scenario. Yeah. So all of that stuff.
The Chloe character. Yeah.
Yeah. The Chloe character was made up.
And she plays the neighbor.
She plays the neighbor. Yeah. Well, she's the mom of the other girl who's the friend who keeps going over there and stuff like that. But the woman who was the friend that would go visit Gypsy Rose saw the act, and she was like, I was kind of disappointed with how I was portrayed because I never was like trying to influence her and make her smoke weed and like helping her drink stuff.
Yeah, the teenage
She's like,
friend,
we
yeah.
all thought that she was like 15, so we weren't doing that stuff with her really. And it's crazy in real life to know that she was as old as she was, because they make her look really young in the act, but also in the documentary they're like, yeah, in this picture, you know, I think she's like 18 or 19 here, and she looks like 7.
Yeah,
you're like, crazy. What is going on? You're like, I could be getting child discounts at movies probably if I worked hard enough.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, there's so many pictures of her. Like, there's one, I swear she has like 4 teeth. Like, because she'd been going to the dentist and they're probably pulling her teeth.
Yeah, the mom had her teeth pulled.
Yeah.
Because there was this whole, and I think that most of this was accurate as well. Gypsy Rose Lee, one of the things that she thought was that she was allergic to sugar.
Sure, right, yeah.
And so the mom was like, you can't have any sip of Coke, you can't have a sweet, you can't have anything like that. And then she started realizing, I can actually drink soda and nothing will happen to me.
Except.
So then she started like binging on sugar when her mom was asleep.
What?
And then, yeah, it's crazy. And then she actually started getting a problem in her tooth because of it.
Yeah.
And then Gypsy Rose's mom took her to the dentist and had all of her teeth taken out.
Oh.
There's so much of a metaphor in that entire story of the entire thing of like, oh, I can have sugar. Oh, wait, I've been held away from this thing for so long that I go nuts on it and it actually does hurt me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then she freaked out and was like, oh, my God, I am not allergic. But she was like, it is bad. Like my mom is right about everything. And yeah. So it was crazy. And then her mom pulled this weird manipulative move where she was the gypsy was out accepting some kind of another grant
best
or whatever,
child
like some
award.
Cripple grant or something, whatever it was.
The
and it,
best child, I think.
Yeah, the best child. Yeah, you got, yeah. So then she's about to go out there on stage and accept her little recognition.
No
she
teeth.
Has no
yeah.
teeth and she's freaking out because she's like, I have no teeth and I look horrible. And right before she goes on stage, the mom's like, here are some dentures. So it's just like such a dick move and manipulative move to be like, I am the only person that can help you. You know, it just
wow.
brings it further into yeah. the spiral of her being so dependent on her mom.
That stuff's not in Mommy, Dead, and Dearest. That's
no.
the stuff that all the flavor stuff that's really in the act.
Oh, like, wow.
Yeah. You got to watch it. It's really fascinating. And and in the doc, I mean, she's really revealing a lot of information about herself. And I think that she has been super open with everything at this point. She's like, why the hell not? I'm getting
right.
out of here in 5 years.
Yeah.
She's engaged.
Right. Yeah.
She's like living her best life.
Her
she probably
and
feels...
fucking Elizabeth Holmes from Theranos are both engaged.
That's right.
They should have
yeah.
a double wedding.
They
I think
should.
That's a good double scam wedding.
Yeah, because some weird dude saw the documentary and was like, she's the one.
Yeah, that's
she...
the girl for me.
That's the one for me.
Yeah. Because now all she's going to want to do is walk around, help a lot.
Totally.
Yeah.
She's got a whole princess theme. She knows the gender roles and all that stuff. It's all old school.
Let me ask you guys this, George and Allie. What's your relationship with your moms? Do you guys have a good relationship with your mom? Is your mom one of those overbearing kind of moms? Is she kooky? Is she awesome?
I have a couple moms.
Oh, okay.
I have two moms, four dads.
Two moms, four dads.
Yeah, I've got my OG mom.
Okay.
She's been married three times.
Okay.
And then I got married to my wife, so now I've got a fourth one.
Mother-in-law.
And yeah. then my dad, my OG dad, got remarried. So now I've got two moms.
Wow. Okay.
So there's a lot there. Christmas is awesome.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
yeah.
But I have a really good relationship with my mom. My mom actually came out for me. I didn't have to come out of the closet because she kind of did it for me. She was like, you are in love with your best friend. And I was like, no, I'm not. She was like, yes, you are.
Shut
and
up,
I was
Mom.
Like, no, no. So I've always had a really close
Wait,
relationship with her.
Let's unpack that for a second. Your mom...
Told you
that I was gay.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard that before.
Yeah, she figured it out. Well, I think she had an inkling when at 8 years old I wanted to buy a suit.
You either want to be a ventriloquist dummy or you were gay.
Yeah, and I also think that like when I was 10, I was like, I want to be a cop. And she was like, Jesus. So there were signs.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I think that by the time I was in high school, it was painfully obvious that I wanted to spend more time with my girlfriend than
right.
my boyfriend, my baseball captain boyfriend.
Chip? Let's just call him Chip.
Yeah, sure. Chip. We'll go with Chip.
Who went to the all boys Catholic school where the joke in other schools was they would just make fun of us for saying all the guys were gay at our
right.
boys high school.
Right.
That's the thing that I heard a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. So she, I think, figured it out. I think it was pretty obvious. And I think she was just like, I'm going to set you free on this one.
Yeah.
I'm just going to kind of help
God.
You through this.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah. And I think that she had gone through it because her sister, my aunt, was also came out like 10 years earlier.
Oh.
So she went through that whole process. So I think by that point, she was like, I'm a pro at this.
Yeah.
You know, I've got it down.
Well, you're wearing your suit and stopping cars on the side of the road, giving them traffic tickets.
It was foreshadowing because later I had a side job as a caterer, so I was wearing a tuxedo like every day. I was like, this is my dream.
And now you solve mysteries on the radio.
Yeah.
You solve murders on the radio, right? You take cold calls, cold case calls.
Cold case calls.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
That's actually a good idea for a radio show.
Yeah. To solve crimes? That seems like it'd be hard.
Yeah. Very irresponsible.
Yeah, totally.
Horribly irresponsible.
Long-time murderer, first-time caller.
I just feel like I have no one to talk to because I meet them and then I kill them.
Dear Mr. Policeman, I gave you all the clues.
Well, the people that do call into radio stations are usually... they've got a couple screws loose, so it wouldn't be surprising.
Do you get a lot of daily callers of the same caller? Do you guys take calls?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do take calls. Yeah, we have a couple of weird regulars. One of them calls himself Creepy Creeper, and he's a weirdo.
Well, that's not creepy at all.
Yeah. He's very dedicated. He calls almost every day, and he is just a weirdo dude in New Jersey who found our radio station, and... every time I post a picture in blue jeans, he flips out and he says that me and my beautiful blue jeans, and he wants to marry me, and he wants to save up money to come out and see me. And we did a bidding war for a pair of my jeans, and he bid $400 on them.
Oh my God. Blue jean lady.
Yeah, we did a remix, Blue Jeans Alley.
Oh,
and
nice.
They called me Blue Jeans Alley because he was so obsessed with my blue jeans.
That's amazing. Creepy Creeper is?
Creepy Creeper.
Yeah. Wow.
Can you kind of explain to our listeners what Channel Q is?
Yeah, well,
is this a national show?
Yes, it's nationally syndicated. It's the first nationally syndicated LGBTQ radio station. So we do a show every day from 12 to 2 Pacific Standard Time called Drop the Subject. And that is, we broadcast out of studios here in LA, but we are in markets in Seattle and Palm Springs and New York and Chicago and Dallas and Vegas and all kinds of different cities. And you can get it anywhere now, pretty much, like on radio.com and stuff. And I started out in radio up in the Bay Area doing a morning show there. And then now I'm down here doing this, and it's been a blast. It's really cool. It's really fun to work on a station where... everyone has a voice, which is our little tagline.
Look at you guys. It's so woke.
Even the blue jean guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost too woke, though. It's
almost
crazy.
Too woke. Yeah. When Creepy Creeper gets like a segment, that's...
Yeah, well, then
don't kink shame Creepy Creeper.
Right. Yeah.
If we're talking about something like inclusive and progressive, or like, we're creating this gender neutral gingerbread man or whatever it is that we're talking about. And we're like, that's so great, blah, blah, blah. Now we'll take a caller and he's like, I love you. You're wrong. You're like, okay, thank you.
Looking at the open ocean now, and it's beautiful.
Gypsy was in a wheelchair. She had leukemia, and she was having seizures, and she had to be tube fed.
And then gradually, that story fell apart.
Things are not always as they appear.
How do you kill your own mother?
This is a tragic event surrounded by mystery and public deception.
People thought of us as the sweetest mother, daughter, best people in the world.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
So they to segue back into Mommy, Dead, and Dearest, they talk about them being Hurricane Katrina survivors, which I guess puts us back in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And which is what gets them to St. Louis?
Yes.
Or Missouri.
Yeah, it gets them to that other town because they lost everything in Katrina.
Yeah.
You know, she uses these things to her advantage, and she's got her little nest egg that she has. People are constantly sending her letters and donating money and things like that. And this house was built for them to get them out of. I mean, it's just like, oh, no. What worse could happen to this poor mother who's dedicated her whole life to helping her sick child? And then now the one possession that she does have, which is a safe home, is now destroyed. Yeah. So let's build this weird house that's wheelchair accessible, but the wheelchair accessibility is like this crazy zigzag that seems not
like a Mobius strip.
All right,
ramp.
I want to go get the mail, and it's like,
see you in an hour.
Yeah, it's like
shaped like an M.
Yeah.
Do you think Dee Dee was like Katrina? Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching.
Katrina. But. I mean, the point is that Dee Dee Blanchard was screwing a lot of people over. She was cheating the system, and she had been for a long time. She had been writing bad checks. There are a lot of people who thought that she basically killed her mom.
Right.
Because she was, they were like, they had a terrible relationship, and I think they thought that she was starving her or giving her medication or something like that. And they were like, as soon as the mom died, she went full wackadoo. And I think it's always funny when you watch these crime docs, and a lot of times they're like, yeah, he was such a normal guy.
Right.
He was such. Every time someone talks about this bitch, they're like, she was crazy.
Girlfriend was crazy.
She was fucking crazy.
Including her own parents.
Yeah.
Which is one of the most like revealing scenes in the entire doc, when they talk to these sweet, lovable Louisiana old folks.
That
and
was
they're like,
thick
she
accent,
got what
right?
she deserved.
Yeah. And they're like, I think she's rotting in hell, thank God. You know, like, it's like, holy shit.
Beauty queen, former beauty queen.
Yeah. My favorite is her cousin.
The tattoo artist cousin.
The tattoo artist cousin guy who's just like, what a whore bitch. I hate this person.
Yeah, he's like, you know, she was probably killing all kinds of people, and like, that bitch is dead now, it's good, and blah, 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 blah. And I mean, this is a guy who's like, what is it, basically a teardrop tattoo on his eye, and he's just like, that bitch was crazy.
Yeah, Bobby Petre.
Yeah, they also said that, I think the parents at one point said that they didn't even care what happened to her ashes.
Right.
They in the toilet.
Yeah, they were
toilet.
Like, oh, just put it in the toilet.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, all right, that's serious when you don't even care about, you can't even put them in one area, not even under a nice tree or anything, just down the toilet.
That's someone who is manipulating and taking advantage of people her entire life. But how does that happen? Are you born like that, or is it like a circumstance of environment and mental illness? Like, what
happens?
I think
it's a little of both.
I remember, like, I just heard at the beginning of this interview that Patricia Arquette did with Terry Gross on Fresh Air, and she talks about how she had to kind of, like, put herself in the actual position that Dee Dee was in to actually make her, like, a human being and be like, everyone who knows this story just knows she's a monster off the bat, but, like, how did she get there, you know? Like, she had to kind of take a little bit of empathy and put it into that character, and I think it kind of comes out.
Yeah, no, it does.
Yeah.
I mean, you definitely feel like there are moments where she could let her real self come out, specifically in the act. There's a point in the show when she has a love interest.
Right, which is Dean Norris from Breaking Bad.
Yeah. And then,
like, this guy has trouble with ladies.
Yeah, things don't ever go well for him. There was a moment where it just seemed like, maybe I can let my guard down and actually just be honest with myself for once, and then she doesn't. But I think that you can see that she has just convinced herself 100% that this is what she needs to do, and that her daughter is really sick. You know, I think that people that have Munchausen's by proxy, they have a delusional disorder, basically. I mean, I'm not going to diagnose, but it's like, you have to have something that's delusional in your brain to think that this person really is sick and that you are their savior, because you have this weird caretaking complex that you need to be saving somebody and taking care of somebody in order to feel fulfilled. And for some reason, whatever switch happened in her life, she felt like she wasn't worth nothing unless she was taking care of this child. Mm-hmm. And so I think that she probably, it became subconscious at that point to give her kid medication and to be talking to these doctors and saying all these things. I think that in some way she really believed the things that she was saying, even when she was lying.
Now there's a in the show there's a thing where she's stealing prescription pads. I don't know if that was a real thing.
Yeah, I don't know. That might have been a
little
extreme. That wouldn't put it past her.
Yeah.
No.
Seems like doable.
I mean if you allow your daughter's teeth to be pulled in a feeding tube,
request it.
I think that prescription pads, she's like, this is where I draw the line.
Yeah, you know.
I'm not going to do that.
I'm no doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that there was a reference in the documentary where she was covering Gypsy Rose's ears while she was talking to the doctors. She was literally keeping her in the dark when she was trying to explain, she is actually slow and she can't, you know, understand certain things, because maybe she would have been like, yes, I can. I can completely understand everything.
Question?
I can hear you fine and see you fine.
Right, yeah.
And it's weird to see her come out in her prison suit in the documentary. I don't even think she was wearing glasses.
Right, no, yeah.
And they have these big Coke bottled glasses on her throughout the whole when she was with her mom.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like she is slow. It looks like she is completely delayed. It looks like she can't see. It's crazy that she's able to make her look like that.
Yeah. She was dressing her up to play this game of, and for like what? So she got a trip to Disneyland. They got
a house.
They got a house, but a Habitat for Humanity house, which I've helped build. Like, I'm horrible at construction. Like, I've helped build these things. They're not the greatest homes in the world.
But you can play a construction worker.
Thank you. That is true. Yeah. I play
better.
The piano. Exactly. That's the thing about these, like, the cons. You put in so much work. If, like, if you just actually got a job and did some work, you'd probably make more money and not have to keep running, you know? Like, that's the part I just don't get from...
Well, that's like somebody like Ted Bundy. Like, he was very smart and he could have easily gotten a job and he could have gotten a great job. But
as a lawyer and stuff.
And then when he escaped twice. And the second time he escaped, he was out for like 2 months or something like that. And at one point, he could have just gotten a job, honestly, and like stopped killing people. That probably would have been helpful. Yeah, and he went to Florida and he's like, I think he even said, because I read the book Stranger Beside Me by Anne Rule, who knew him. And she was like, I had conversation with him where he's like, I should have gotten a job. Why didn't I work harder to get a job?
Right.
And it's like, for some reason, there's just something in your head that's just like, I'm above that. Like, I don't need to do that. That's hard.
Yeah.
It's harder than me just cheating the system and finding a way to get money somehow.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think it's what I found very interesting from the whole Ted Bundy thing is after he escaped from the Colorado prison, they're like, you know, back then states just didn't talk to each other. Like, why not?
Right.
You know, like, whose idea was, like, can you imagine one day you're like, you know, I should call Utah and just see what's going on over there?
Because there's a bunch of dead people there, too.
There was a federal bureau.
Yeah.
They all died in the same way. Like, I mean, now them telling the story and being like, anyway, these 8 girls were missing in Washington, and then these 6 girls were missing in Utah. And then you're like, how did they not put all this shit together? It's insane. And then even when he was in Florida, they're like, where's Ted Bundy? And it's like, but he's... Do it.
Yeah.
Like, he's doing the same shit.
They had to basically start making, like, crime databases, like, in, like, the 70s, I think. That was part of it, right? They had to just invent, like, we could actually figure out where crime is happening if we actually, like, you know, figure out how to mark these things correctly and then run it in a computer.
Yeah, and then also maybe not just give them access to a law library with no handcuffs so that he's able to just jump out of the window of the courthouse and leave.
Listen, we're going to give you full rein in this, but you see that window over there?
Don't jump out of there.
Don't go out of that window.
Yeah.
All right, see ya.
I did not watch that Ted Bundy shit, but everyone's just like, it's just like proof of white privilege, basically. Like,
it is.
Ted Bundy.
It totally
story.
Is. And he would just manipulate people, and then he'd be chummy with the guards and stuff.
Or the
it's
judge
crazy.
Was like, you're a fine gentleman. Yeah. I wish I could have served. Yeah, I'm like, he raped and killed women.
Many.
Yeah.
Like 30.
Stop, judge, you weirdo.
30, Jesus.
There's obviously lots of telling scenes in Mommy, Dead, and Dearest. One of the ones that I thought was like very powerful is when her her father and his wife were talking to the doctor, and the doctor's going through all of
is going through the records.
Gypsy's real father, right?
Her real father. I forget his
that
name.
That guy must feel like shit. Can you imagine?
Well, he was 17 when she was born, which is kind of,
I mean, I know that she's so manipulative and controlling that I'm sure he just fell into it. He doesn't seem like the brightest
She was 7 years older than him, too, which is interesting.
She
was No, she was like 24 and he was 17 when Gypsy was born.
Got it. Okay.
So there's like a 7 year age gap between those guys.
Right.
So and technically, then, I don't know what age of consent is in Louisiana, but you know.
Five.
Oh, boy.
It's a southern
you
joke.
You go on, you. I think that he just kind of bought whatever she was putting down.
Yeah.
And
she was premature, right? So he probably just went along with whatever.
But he's like, even him retelling it in the documentary, he's like, yeah, you know, just she couldn't walk no more. And I was like, that's weird. Yeah.
No questions.
Well, but, and then, I mean,
he's like, all right.
She's a master manipulator, though. Like, that kind of shit is scary, especially, like, if I had a kid and I was estranged with my baby mama, and she was like, she's got a chromosome disease, I'd be like, oh, fuck.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Like, now what do we do?
Money? Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Like, I'd be like, shit, okay, let's, and then it's like, I guess now, I mean, we also have the, I guess they had Google when, what year was she born?
91.
Yeah. Okay.
So maybe not then. So.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was still encyclopedia days back then.
Well, Facebook was still pretty new when she was getting on there.
Oh, that is true.
You know, and then she was using online dating apps, or not apps, but just websites to meet people. And,
did she meet Go to John on a Christian?
On a Christian dating site, yeah.
What a weird...
Yeah,
that's where you meet
weird.
All the murderers.
That's
yeah.
You can't just go to dateamurderer.com.
No, not anymore.
But, I mean, it's really interesting to... What fascinates me about this documentary and about the show and just about the whole story in general is when this girl went from... I'm unhappy and I'm not really sure what to do to this is the only solution.
Right.
I've got to murder. We've got to get rid of her and kill her.
Yeah.
And she appears to be very innocent. And I know that this girl was brainwashed. I know that this girl was abused for her entire life. She was being put in a wheelchair when she could walk. She was being told not to, like, to pretend not to walk. There's a scene in the documentary where she's like, I'm going to jump off of this ledge and into the snow, which is one of the fucking most awkward.
So creepy.
Chilling, creepy things ever. And then she's like dragging her legs back to the... It's like she has learned to do the act herself as well. And you have to know like that she's being manipulated and that she's being abused into doing this. But also how much of her... Like, how much did she know and how much was she playing into it voluntarily versus what was being brainwashed into her? And then reading over those text messages that are so graphic and really, like, she seems like she wants her fucking dead.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay. And then she's in the documentary and she's like, I was being abused. And you're like, you were. I understand that you're a victim, but also... Was there a little part in you that was also fucking crazy and was like, this is the solution. I want her to die a bad death.
Yeah. I mean, it's like her Disney mind made everything black and white, right? Her Disney mind is like, oh, my mother is not the good queen. My mother is the evil witch. And like, so her development is so skewed and like, so it's like a bonsai plant of weirdness.
Totally.
Right?
She was.
I think she, I mean, the real solution is
a bonsai tree of weirdness.
Like just like cultivated, mini, like, you know, kept in just contained.
Right.
But like, I mean, the options are really like, you could also just like steal a bunch of money and just say peace out and not try to get revenge or whatever. And as opposed to what she did, where I think she thought if she signed these papers of like guardianship or like power of attorney, then that her mom would rat her out. And I think that was sort of like implied in the show. I mean, obviously that's like made up stuff, but I mean, I think the validity is there in terms of like, you know, she was over 18 at that point, so she was culpable for like taking all this Make-A-Wish money or whatever.
Right, exactly.
Like, how many Make-A-Wishes did this woman get?
Seriously. You know, and then some people make the wish and then they are still around and then they get another wish.
Yeah. What if we found Bat Kid is fine, right? I've heard the Bat
Kid,
is fine.
Yeah, thank God. Thank God Bat Kid is fine.
Maybe he's engaged to Gypsy Rose.
We can make double wishes.
So basically what we're saying is she faked a wish.
Yeah.
It was more Fake-A-Wish than
it was Fake-A-Wish.
Yeah.
The Fake-A-Wish Foundation.
Take-A-Wish. Yeah. More like.
Fake-A-Wish. We'll say you give you your wish and then we don't. That's terrible. No, that Disney angle is really fascinating because I think she was living in this fairy tale world where things were so simple. Like, I'm going to have a happily ever after if I kill the Wicked Witch. That's how life works.
And she
works.
Has her Prince Charming now.
She has her Prince Charming.
Oh, what a Prince Charming.
Yeah. Nicholas.
I have my crazy multiple personality Prince Charming who I have to put on different wigs and pretend to be different people for while he jerks off or whatever it is.
I'm kind of like okay that the documentary didn't have that footage, but the act did.
Yeah, it did.
But they had her multiple characters.
Yes,
though,
they had her multiple characters,
which
on
was
there.
Pretty fascinating as well.
Yes.
Like this is my good girl one, and this is my not good girl.
So creepy.
Oh, so
they almost made Allie throw up.
Ugh, disgusting. And they showed so many more pictures that I wanted to see. But yeah, they. She also tells the story of her favorite Disney movie, which is Tangled.
Oh, yeah.
And it's crazy how it parallels. Yeah. She's like, that's my favorite one. And it's about Rapunzel, who's locked in this tower by her mom, and she can't go anywhere, and she really wants to see the outside world, and then she can't. And then the mom dies because she pushes her out of a window, and I was like, oh, shit, this is, like, legit what you did. So, I mean, maybe in her weird mind, that was the solution. But then I don't understand why it was there was a documentation of every aspect of, like, I don't think she realized I probably shouldn't text about this on a constant basis.
Or post on the shared Facebook.
Post on a shared Facebook page that had the location services turned on and then mail the knife to myself with the return address of the murder house.
Because she didn't watch true crime shows. Right. She didn't watch SVU. She didn't watch true crime documentaries. We all know how to commit a murder now.
I'm like,
everyone listening to this knows how to commit a murder better than this girl.
Totally. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, I have my ideas.
Never
that ever comes to
burn
that.
Burn the body in your backyard and put the RAV4 key in your on your living room floor.
Exactly. Don't do that.
Don't
okay?
do that part.
Yeah. And
don't
then,
buy RAV4. Yeah.
Yeah. Just don't buy RAV. And then don't call a cab to come pick you up from the murder house after you kill your mom. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
Oh,
now,
my God.
When is the first lime scooter murder evidence going to come into play?
Yeah.
Like, well, I beat her to death with the lime scooter, and then I drove the lime scooter home.
Yeah. It's like all of this is trackable.
And it's one thing that I found out the other day, and I got very excited. I think I texted Allie at like 1 a.m, is that the Facebook page is still up.
It is still up.
You can still go to their shared Facebook page, and the last entry is "that bitch is dead." It's eerie. It is, and it's been shared like 44,000 times as well, which is also.
I'm just gonna start tagging her in everything.
Yeah.
Just tag her in every Facebook post.
There you go.
I want a friend. Is it a page that you can actually like or friend?
No,
it's a memorial.
It was their
shared one, right?
Yeah. So no, you can't join it anymore or whatever. It was a personal page, so you would have had to add friend,
right?
But you can still read the public.
Oh my god!
Comments.
That's fucking
crazy. D-Gip Blanchard. Yeah.
Yeah.
D-Gip
Blanchard.
They both used.
But
it,
then
yeah.
Why did she post those things? That's what I don't get.
Yeah.
Like, the bitch is dead. This is what I did and blah, 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 blah. Like, what in your mind? I don't even think they could make that make sense in the show.
Yeah, like, was she trying to say that Nick did it and that he posted it?
I think they were trying to make it seem like their account got hacked.
A murderer?
Right, by the murderer?
Yeah.
I'm just like, why is that mentality make any sense to you?
I don't know. So what do you guys think? Do you think she was in the bathroom floor with her hands over her ears while Nicholas was killing the mom, or do you think she participated?
I don't think she participated. I think that the events happened the way she said they did. I think that now that she has been truthful, I don't think that she... I think she's an all or nothing kind of girl. I don't think she's gonna. I don't think she's gonna lie about
she
little
commits.
Bits and pieces, you know, and be like, I think she was 100% when she got called in and that video of them being like, "Did you kill her? No. Did you have anything to do with it? No. Do you even, you know, everything was no, 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 no." Even though all of the evidence was the contrary.
Yeah.
Then once she finally became honest, it was every detail has been completely revealed. So I don't think that she would just I don't think she's able to be as manipulative as her mother was, where she just can fabricate certain things. I think that because she's been so abused and so brainwashed, I just don't think she would do that.
Her like life skills in terms of like manipulating people, is just she doesn't have enough interaction with people.
Yeah, she's like, been a victim for too long to be like, I'm turning the tables now and cheating the system.
Putting the system on trial.
Aha, now I can't walk again.
I wonder what Dee Dee's she was eventually, Gypsy was eventually going to be 18, 19, 20, 25. Like, was she just going to keep her corralled?
I mean, she should have just like, concentrate on those guinea pigs. That's what I think. Like, yeah, get a pet, you know? Like, you can get as many.
Guinea wheelchair.
Add a feeding tube to a guinea pig. Who gives
they
a
don't
fuck?
Care.
Yeah, no, that's they why don't. They're called guinea pigs.
That's right. Yeah, just get a guinea
Give
pig.
Give them all the medications, you know? Shave them.
I don't think that she thought about that.
I'm
she
no advocating just, animal abuse on this podcast.
Right. No, I think there's plenty of other things that people can be offended about. Yeah. I think that she just liked what was going on, and then she didn't know what was going to happen later. She thought she could just kind of keep it going. It's like people that write bad checks. They don't know what's going to come of it. They're just like,
that's a good point.
This is right now I'm going to do this. I'm not going to think about the fact that, you know, I can't go back to Louisiana because I'm going to be arrested or whatever it is. She's just not thinking that far ahead.
Right.
So, but then when, I mean, there had to be a breaking point at some point because eventually she gets old enough to know, like, wait a minute, I have tits. Wait a minute, I'm an adult with needs.
Yeah.
And I'm realizing that I'm being not treated the right way.
Right.
And I mean, eventually she catches on, right? And
it's almost like if she didn't have that, her sexuality didn't come out, then she could have maintained it. And that's really the battle that's portrayed in the show is like trying to keep your child a child.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like the character with the Chloe Sevigny characters. They kind of like use that as like a parallel. So she's like a normal mom dealing with a normal like rambunctious teenage girl.
I think that's why they added that. And then I also
just for a contrast of
the
like the
woman
spectrum.
Who I agree. And I think that the woman who is the BuzzFeed article writer doc, she's the one who made the series.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting.
That's right.
And she's the one who mentions, like, you can't stop teenage sexuality.
Yeah.
Like, they were up against that, which is a huge force in nature.
It really is. Stronger than crazy moms.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This was the battle between crazy mom and adolescent teen with sexual drive.
They always win.
It's like the robot battle. Definitely would always sway in that direction. But it's interesting that this woman, because when she's talking in the documentary, you really feel like she feels for Gypsy and is like she was a victim. Like, you know, there are some people that are unclear, but she was telling a really interesting perspective. And so it makes sense that she would then make this series and also add. I think those relationships were added to show that example of what a healthier relationship, it's not healthy, but it's healthier relationship of what a real mom and daughter is like. And then I don't want to spoil it, but there's a scene at the end where, you know, where Gypsy meets the mom again. And there's a very interesting scene between the two of them that never happened. But it's very important to kind of have an insight into Gypsy Rose and how she, in her frame of thought and just kind of the journey that she took. So I think it's an interesting way to
Did
go
you
about
read
it.
That BuzzFeed article? Michelle Dean is the creator of the show. Right.
No, I didn't.
With a guy named Nick. Nick Encosta.
Oh, great.
I didn't read that BuzzFeed article, but I guess I'm sure Mommy Dan Dearest took a lot of the research from the BuzzFeed article as well.
Yeah. I think so.
It's probably, she was just like, wait, I get to also make my own version of this story.
Well, I also looked up Nick Gotajan because I was like, everyone focuses on Gypsy, but what the fuck is going on with Nick?
Yeah.
This guy kind of, not that he was a victim because he's a murderer, but he was a little bit manipulated, I think, by her, and he was not all there. He had problems of his own, and I think that he just got, I'm in love with this person and I'm going to protect you and I'm going to do this so that I'm going to save my princess. And he kind of got into this whole rigmarole. He basically got sucked into the cyclone of fucking weirdness that was already going on in that house. And, you know, he had already had other things that he had gotten arrested for. I don't doubt that he would have been a weird, violent criminal anyway. But he really thought that they were in love and that he never thought that she would throw him under the bus. She kind of did at the end. And now he's in life in prison with no parole.
Oh, wow. He got life.
He got life with no possibility of parole.
Wow.
And he's like, I feel betrayed. And I feel like there's always going to be a part of me that loves her. But it was my mistake to trust that love and take it to that level.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. We've all been heartbroken and we've all done stupid stuff in the name of love. But yeah. Murder, not so much.
Yeah.
What's the craziest thing you guys have ever done for someone that you love? You guys ever done something like...
Oh, wait, we haven't murdered someone for love?
Yes.
Oh, I thought that's why we were here.
I thought that's what we had in common.
I thought
we were creating one of those, like it works better if no one knows the other victim.
Right. Let's just get Chris Hansen from Dateline to come out.
Yeah, tackle us. Let's see, the craziest thing I've ever done for love.
It's like a Meatloaf song. What if... Have you ever moved... Like across the country or?
No, but I dated a girl who wanted to move across the country after, like, we had gotten together in New York and then I moved to San Francisco and she was like, I want to come with you. And I was like, no.
No. no.
I was like, don't do that. Yeah. That's crazy.
Let's call her up right now.
Okay. I don't have her number. I actually don't think she talks to me anymore. And one of her friends reached out to Katie, my now wife, and was like, don't date her. She's a homewrecker and she's crazy. And I was like, fun.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
And what did Katie say?
She said, I love it. I know and I love it. I love the drama.
Bring it on.
Yeah, I don't think I've done anything that crazy. I guess the first time... Okay, here's the only crazy thing I did.
Okay, let's go.
I was dating a guy named Adam when I lived in the Bay Area still, and I was still doing musical theater. And we were together. And then there was this other really hot girl named Stephanie, who is a dancer. And she expressed interest in me. And this was, we were all at a party. It was like a rap, you know, a whatever party of, what do they call them? Closing
parties?
Rap party. Closing night parties?
Closing night
parties. Now I'm like out of the musical theater world. So I'm like, what do they call them? it was closing night party. We were all shit faced and Stephanie started like trying to
put the moves
on me. And Adam was there too. And I was like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And then she was like, I want you to come over to my house or no, I want to go home with you to your house. And I was like, okay. And I made Adam drive me and her to my house and drop us off and then told him to leave so that I could cheat on him.
Snap.
So I did that for love or lust, I guess.
Well, that's lust. Yeah. I caused a diversion once so that my girlfriend in high school could steal a necklace.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, because she wanted to steal something and you loved her, so you were a part of the crime. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I drew this clerk away from the counter.
Oh, so it was at a store?
It was in the mall.
In a store.
And then she stole the necklace. Yeah, for me. It was my birthday present.
Wait. Your girlfriend bought you a necklace for your birthday?
She stole your necklace.
Stole it. Yeah. She stole
it. And you helped her steal your own birthday present.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, do you still have it?
No. She then broke up with me, and then I had it melted down for money. Yeah.
That was the right choice.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow. Then you really committed a crime for somebody.
I did. Yeah. Yeah, I was an accomplice.
So now can you relate to Gypsy?
Fuck yeah, I can. Yeah. Gypsy and I are close.
Or Nick, I guess, rather.
More Nick, yeah. I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. What about you?
Craziest, you know, I was hoping that you guys would just forget about me. That's what I was hoping.
All right. So you've had no relationships. I get it.
Yeah. No, I'm trying to think, like, usually it's just like doing something crazy before it even like being like, hey, I like you. And then feeling a lot of regret about that initially.
So self-deprecation and shame.
It's mostly been like self, it's mostly turned inward.
Turned inward,
yeah. Okay. I wouldn't say it's external acting out. I've done crazy other things out of just other emotions, but not
right,
love.
Right.
Well,
road rage. I have road rage.
True crime documentaries have taught us not to fall in love.
Yeah
that's so true. Yeah. I wonder
not to just share like the plan with the other person. Yeah,
true.
Just learn how to.
You
do
never know.
Own.
Yeah.
Learn to roast all.
So Nicholas is serving life without parole. And Gypsy gets out soon.
She's eligible for parole in 2024.
Okay.
And then she plans to get married after she gets out.
So she's 28.
Oh, and a fun tidbit.
Mm-hmm.
The ring, if you look up her engagement, she's wearing a ring in a picture. And she has really long, beautiful hair now. So it's nice to see that it grew out and that it looks great. And then she's wearing a ring that is not given to her by the guy, but she got it from another inmate who's getting divorced.
Oh, wow.
So the other inmate was like, I'm getting divorced. Take my ring. I don't want it. And that's what she's wearing right now. But then when they get married, they're going to have
a maid of honor.
She'll
have a different ring to share.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with the wedding. Are they planning it now? And she's only eligible for parole in 2024. So we don't know if she's actually going to get out at that time.
Right.
So I don't remember exactly when she got in. I want to say it was 2015.
Murder was 2015, right?
Yeah, the murder was 2015, so probably it was 2016 or 17. But by the time she went in, so it hasn't been that long. But she probably feels great in prison. She's like, this is so much better than being at my mom's house.
Yeah.
I mean, I was thinking about it while watching it again, and I was like, this is actually probably the best outcome that it could have been, to be honest. Like, the only one who really got shit on was Nick. Like, he's really not happy that all this happened, but Gypsy's free.
Yeah.
And she's going to be really free in another 5 to 7 years. She's going to get married. The mom's dead. She would have been a problem otherwise. Yeah. No one seems to miss her.
Nobody. Including her parents, her daughter, her cousin.
She's on that memorial page. I don't think anyone gives a shit about the memorial page.
Nobody gives a shit.
I don't even know if she had her memorial.
No, probably not. I mean, she was murdered, cremated, and dumped in a toilet, apparently, according to her
People
father.
Didn't want her to be murdered, probably.
Nobody wants anyone to be murdered, but...
But
I mean,
I think it was pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounded like Dee Dee left a kind of a big wake, you know, behind her. There are a lot of quote-unquote corpses that happened. Mm. I mean, I don't know if I've ever met anyone quite like Dee Dee, but, like, I grew up in, like, a... not, you know, like poverty farm area of West Michigan. Like I feel like we've all met people
who could be weird like that.
Yeah. I've certainly met master manipulators before. And I've actually lived with one. I mean, it's pretty incredible when you get away from them, you're like, oh shit. Like, this person is really good at making you think something's happening. Usually they're alcoholics or something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I think there are some people that, they just like to create drama when they're bored. And sometimes in small towns and stuff, not that New Orleans is a small town, but in some small towns, you're like, I'm bored. I want to create drama, or I want to do something to get attention. So I'm just going to tell a little white lie or embellish something. And then it feels good. And then it just keeps going and going and going. And I've heard a story last year, some lady raised a bunch of money for cancer and she never fucking had cancer.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like people do weird shit to get attention.
Well, there's a lady who got a breast enlargement. She had cancer and she had a GoFundMe. She didn't have cancer, but she had a cancer GoFundMe and she used to get bigger boobs. Then there's the couple, I think, in Wisconsin with the homeless guy.
Yeah, I think it was Pennsylvania.
Oh, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, where he was supposed to be, I think I talked about this as one of my documentary ideas.
Oh.
It was, they tried to say that he was homeless. He saw this woman and her car had run out of gas, and he's like, oh, I'll help you get gas with my last $20. And then they posted that whole story, and they got a bunch of GoFundMe money.
I did hear about that.
And then it turned out the idea was there's the girl, her boyfriend, and the guy, and they were supposed to do a three-way split, but they didn't give him all the money, so then he ratted them out.
That's awesome.
It's like, needs to be a good documentary about that.
Yeah, yeah, that would be a good doc.
That's just heartless stuff, man. That's crazy.
I do know somebody, and I won't say who I think might have Munchausen's by proxy.
Really?
Oh. Yeah, but it's on a smaller level.
Okay.
But it's like she, I think, does it to herself. I think she was always posting about how she just always is at the hospital with things that she might have, and then she...
She does it to herself.
Well, she... Hold on.
Oh.
So she...
Tell us now.
When she... I can't answer it all. So she... she started it was like when she was pregnant. Oh. She was like constantly like, I think there might have been a minor complication or something with the pregnancy. So she was in the hospital a lot around the pregnancy. And then after the baby was born, she was like still at the hospital all the time. And it was like, oh, there's something going on with this person. You know, like everyone was a little worried. And then eventually I was like, is there anything like... There was never a diagnosis. It was always like this Gypsy Rose thing. There was never a clear answer. It was always just all these different tests that were being done and like these levels of something were low. And I was like, what is going on? Mm-hmm. And then now the daughter is like 7 or 8 or something. And she's at the fucking hospital all the time. And this poor kid, I mean, I see her. It's like on a beautiful summer day and she's like inside at the hospital and being like, poor thing has a fever and has to stay for 2 days while we do this and that and this. And I'm like, I don't think there's anything wrong with this kid. I honestly think that she just likes the drama of it. And maybe when the complication in the pregnancy happened, she was there was like a switch that turned on and was like, oh, I'm getting attention for this.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of escalated. Like, I don't think that she's physically harming her kid or doing anything that aggressive. But I think there is this helicoptering to the point where the kid can't. I don't know. I just think it's weird.
Is she social posting all the time from the hospital?
Yes, okay, all the time.
I think that's the other factor that does kind of play into this too with like the social media aspect of it, like the Facebook aspect of Gypsy's stuff.
Yeah, and Dee Dee was videotaping everything. Yeah. Like she was so... There are so many videos of her being like, we're at the hospital. Where are we going now?
Yeah.
And all this weird shit. And it's basically the equivalent of putting it on social media. She wanted to document everything.
Yeah.
I have a theory that if we had Medicare for All, this wouldn't have happened.
Going political.
Yeah.
We went there.
We lost a listener.
Yes, we did lose
I hate free healthcare. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Oh, some of them do.
Yeah, they do. They do. Someone got mad at us because we talked about a conservative listener who emailed us.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And they were mad at us. So.
Did you read the email?
Yeah.
Nice.
On there. Yeah.
Great.
And then we got a 1-star review for someone who was like, I was a listener, but now I'm not since you've made fun of a conservative.
Oh, that's
great. I'm like, have you heard our show?
Yeah, exactly.
And you know what? That's props to them for lasting that long.
Yeah.
Indeed. And if you guys have anything to say about George and I on our show or our documentaries or guests or whatever, just let us know on our Facebook page, Twitter, Instagram, email us, whatevs.
Gotta cast this doc. Gotta cast this doc.
Here's what I was thinking. Yes, it's already been cast as a drama, but what if it had been cast as a comedy?
Well, Melissa McCarthy would play Dee Dee Blanchard.
Okay, I was thinking that or Fortune Femster.
Oh!
Snap.
That would be good.
And then for Gypsy, I was thinking Chris Kattan.
He needs the work.
He does.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then for Nick Godijan, I thought we could do something like the hapless loser like Ben Stiller.
Okay.
You know, or like Ben Stiller as Simple Jack or something.
Right.
You know, where he's just like, oh no, I had to poop and I didn't have toilet paper and I had to kill this lady's mom. What a predicament.
Who's the darling guy on SNL that dated Ariana Grande?
Oh, Pete Davidson?
Yeah, Pete Davidson might be able to play.
That would be
Nicholas
good if I didn't hate him.
I was picturing.
I hate him too.
I hate him.
I hate him so much I can never
You don't want to give him work? Yeah.
Yeah, I am.
He sucks.
He's not funny. What is wrong? Why Saturday Night
it's
Live?
It's the Jimmy Fallon complex.
Right.
Jimmy Fallon is not funny.
No.
He had one Adam Sandler impression, which has gotten him through his entire career.
Yeah.
And now he just plays like soap bingo with Ariana Grande.
Ugh.
And you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I hate him. And then I also think that Pete Davidson is just somebody who's mildly funny. His stand-up is weird. I've seen him do stand-up. And he just laughs during all the sketches.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which is what Jimmy Fallon did.
Yep.
Yeah.
Annoying.
Yeah, that is.
And they're destined for success then.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that if this was like almost like Mama's House.
Right.
You know, type of show where it's like a multicam sitcom.
Right.
And they're like, Dee Dee, what are you doing? And she's like, what? And then she like dies every episode or something, like in South Park.
Right.
I think that'd be cool.
Yeah.
I'd like
you
to see that.
You killed Dee
Dee. Yeah.
I picture DJ Qualls as Nick Godijan, if you know that guy. He's like a really skinny actor. He kind of looks like the actor who plays him in.
Oh, okay. I was trying to find somebody visually who looked like him, and I was like, I just don't know.
And Allie, do you have a story that you love that you think should be turned into a documentary?
You know, I was thinking about that, and in addition to being obsessed with true crime, I'm also obsessed with survival stories. Oh. So I'd really like to see a docu-series about people who are stranded.
Oh, yeah.
Like stranded at sea or right. stranded on a desert island or something. You know, there's a lot of famous stories of people that have been lost at sea for like a year.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, that guy who got stuck on the boat with all those circus animals. That was a real thing, right? Life
yeah.
of Pi?
Yeah, Life of Pi. That's real.
Yeah, that was real. Yeah. I want to see a documentary about that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, with Chris Kattan as the tiger.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, I want to see something like that. Like, I love, what is that show? I Survived.
Oh, yeah.
Where they tell stories of people who almost died. Yeah. And a lot of times it's like avalanche or somebody stuck at sea or somebody stuck on an island or, you know, some lady who fell into a canyon and broke her hip and was stuck there for 4 days
well,
or something like that.
Well, there's the dude that drove off the cliff and was missing for like 3 months and survived on rainwater from leaves and gum.
Gum?
Gum and like rainwater from leaves and shit.
For
like,
3 months?
Or 3 weeks. Something, I don't know. Maybe 3 days.
Rock hard.
Something, but like you looked at it like they finally found him and he lived.
That's
somehow.
Amazing. Yeah. See, those stories are really interesting to me. So I'd like to see a docuseries. You can call it Stranded. And just have a bunch of stranded stories.
Right. Yeah. Stranded stories.
Focus on a different one every time.
Right. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
What about you, George? You have another... No,
I was trying to think of something to go with the crime theme that we're doing. I have had trouble coming up with anything in the crime genre for like a crime story that hasn't been covered at this point in time. I'm trying to think of like, you know, there's all the big murders have been done, right? So it'd have to be a new murder that's about to happen. I don't know. I maybe want to see something about like... I guess I'm kind of curious about the school shooters, like in terms of like what brings them to that point. And there's been so many at this point that you could do a whole series of school shooters.
Have you seen that movie about the Norway shooting?
No.
That's a really good movie. It's not a doc, but it's really good.
He's still alive, right?
He's in jail.
Yeah. And then there's another story that I heard about recently. I think this actually might even be a North Bay story. It's fucking crazy. And I think it just happened. It would be really cool to see a doc about it in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about this woman and her wife, lesbians, and they drove into a tree or some shit and killed
Hearts?
A bunch of their kids.
Yes, there's a podcast about it called Broken
really?
Hearts.
They drove off a cliff.
But there's no
killed
documentary.
Killed all their kids and they think that it was murder-suicide.
Yeah.
Fucking nuts.
It's really, that's
especially
really
especially because you don't see that a lot with women and lesbians.
Have you ever seen the doc, Whatever Happened to Aunt Diane?
Yes.
Or What's the Matter with Aunt Diane?
Yep.
Jeez.
That's crazy too.
I really would
love to believe that woman is innocent and all of that. It's really just so many people just had her back and were like, there's no way that she would have done this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I really hope that's the truth.
Yeah. Me too. I had one about, forensics. So criminal forensics is a fairly recent development in criminal work. I read a great book about how they started criminal forensics, and it was basically like this retired sheriff, this retired like archaeologist, and they're like crime solving buddies would get together on weekends and drink beer and go over like cold cases and stuff. And then they,
what?
Yeah, and then
like
they
a podcast,
yeah, exactly. And then they had a friend who had a dog who was like well known for like sniffing out cadavers and stuff. And so they're like, well, he could probably help. And then they found and
they made their own little baby task force.
Yes,
that's adorable.
I know.
That crowdsourcing,
yeah. That is adorable.
They should make a show about that.
I know. Yeah, it's
about the creation
book.
Of it.
It's fascinating. And all the people, they started in Colorado. It started with a missing hitchhiker girl who had been murdered, but they had to find the body in order to get after this guy. And they found her because of this ragtag team of retired.
Wow.
But and then the cops hate them because they're like, well, what do you know about this? You don't know anything about solving crimes.
Yeah.
I don't know why
well,
they're British.
Yeah. Old timey British people.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't know. Well, amazing things happen in people's garages.
Apple.
Yeah, Apple. Yeah. And now task forces and forensics. Yeah. I mean, Jesus. Yeah, if we didn't have garages, I don't know where we'd be in this world. But
there should be a doc about things.
Garages. Garage wars, but minus the wars.
That's right.
I think that Forensic Files is my favorite true crime-ish show. Right. So I support any kind of forensic type stuff. It's always really fascinating.
After I read that book, I'm not making this up. I'm such a dork. I tried to join the FBI.
What? What?
They said,
how
you need an FBI card. It's
$300. Like 2 years ago. And you can't be over like 38. And I already was in my 40s. And like, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, you're too old for the FBI?
I'm too old
sucks.
For everything,
oh,
dude.
Oh,
yeah. This podcast better take off.
Yeah.
Okay, Allie, before, I'm going to ask you some questions and then we'll ask you where people can see you online and what you got coming up. Hometown?
San Jose, California.
Mm. Person you are most mistaken for?
Casper.
Casper the Friendly Ghost.
Yeah. Most mistaken for. Sometimes I get Christina Ricci.
Oh.
Okay. Person I'm most mistaken for. Someone's friend.
I get that.
It's like, you look like my friend, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And it's never anyone I know.
Jan, are you Jan? No,
yeah.
I'm not. Pet peeve.
People who don't follow through.
Oh, yeah. That's a big one.
In Los Angeles?
What? No way.
So many coffees that I've wasted.
Yeah. What is your guilty pleasure?
Smoking.
Oh, yeah.
I still only do it occasionally, but it's a guilty pleasure.
Okay. What do you never travel without?
Hiking shoes. It's the lesbianest answer ever.
That is.
I never know. You never know.
You never know.
We ended up going on a hike in Vegas. I brought him to Vegas.
There
it was a great decision.
It's perfect. Do you have any pets?
I have two cats.
Oh, what are their names?
Well, Katie's cat is named Zoe, and then my cat is named Callie, but I call her Bidu.
Bidu?
Bidu.
Oh, Bidu.
Bidu, yeah.
George has a cat.
Mm-hmm. What's your cat's name?
Sherby, or Shmoo, as I've been calling him. I've been calling him Shmooey.
We're already thinking of what our next
cat's
name is
going to be. That's my most
lesbian
answer.
Shmooey. We're going to name our next cat Sushi.
Aww. Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Biggest regret? Naming your cat Sushi.
Yeah. Selling my 12-string guitar for a quarter ounce of weed.
Oh, yeah.
That was a bad decision.
That's a bad decision. Celebrity crush.
Oh, Emma Watson.
Oh, yeah.
Or Tatiana Maslany.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
From Orphan Black.
Oh, okay. She's a lead in Orphan Black.
Yeah.
She's
hot.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, okay. Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Starring in an animated series.
Oh, I like it. What would it be called?
Jesus Christ. That's a tough question. There it is. That's it.
That's the
Jesus Christ.
That's a tough question. Yeah, okay, awesome. All right. So where can people find you online? And if you have any gigs come up, now's the time to plug.
I'm at Your Allie Johnson on Twitter and Instagram, and you can check out my show, Drop the Subject. It's on wearechannelq.com. So just go there to find out where you can listen, whether you can listen locally on your radio or you can listen on radio.com. Let's see. I'm going to be at the Comedy Store on one moment. June 8th.
Okay. Awesome.
In the Belly Room.
Oh, great.
I think that show is at 10 p.m. So I'm on the lineup there. And just keep follow me on social media and I'll always be posting whatever I've got coming up.
That is fantastic. Do you have anything to plug after?
The bitch is dead.
No. Happy Mother's Day to everyone.
Happy Mother's Day.
I have no big shows. I have a tape coming out. I have a double cassette release coming out of a comedy album plus noise remixes of comedy on Death Bomb Arc. So go to deathbombarc.com. To find that.
Awesome, everybody.
Can I plug
please,
one more thing?
Please.
I'm also developing a show, Butch Pal for the Straight Gal. The first all-female Queer Eye. It is a comedy about what the first all-female Queer Eye would be like. We're probably going to be shooting in September. We're just doing casting right now. We're going to raise a little more money as well over the next 3 months. So you can follow us and support at Butch Pal Series.
I feel like I can see like a picture of hiking boots hung over a wire, you know, like old school.
Totally. Yeah. We made commemorative chapsticks too to give to everybody to spread the word about the show. So it's going to be pretty great.
Is funny. Allie Johnson, thank you so much.